Where ALTs are complex and fun, and it's a different kind of fun, you have to really think it through in order to get the most out of an ALT and understand the failure mechanism. But you need to start with a failure mechanism. It's really the best place to start your creating an accelerated life test. Now, a similar process or a completely different process is to figure out, well, what will fail? And that's what I call in the body of knowledge is now listed as the discovery testing. You can also call it margin testing. The idea is that I'm going to apply stress to a product or a system or a component until it fails. So I need to be able to determine, is it working or not? Is it operational or not? But let's say I have a product that has an operating environment, something like this. And let's say this is temperature. And it may be designed to operate from 0 to 40 degrees C. And we get a couple of samples and we operate them. We change the temperature, put them in chamber at 0 degrees and at 40 degrees C, and it works fine. And that's all great, but is there enough margin such that if I go to 41 degrees, will it fail? We don't know if we stop the testing at 40. And likewise, do I keep rising it up until it actually does fail? And then how far away is that? Because the notion is that this is an estimate of our operating condition. We're suspecting that most of our customers will be at 40 degrees C or less, but we know that that's some kind of distribution. The max exposed temperature may get as high as 50 degrees C for some people in some conditions. And if our product fails at 45 degrees C, we're going to lose that number of specimens. But we also know that the product itself is going to degrade over time its ability to withstand temperature. So even though originally it's working at 40, over time it may fail when it gets to 35 C and so on. It may drop this threshold of where the failures occur. So the variability of the product's robustness is a concern, plus the variability of the use conditions is a concern. So that's what we talk about, margin. Previously, we talked about this concept with the stress strength calculations. And what we're looking for is, given a particular product's design, how much margin is there before it fails? And we learn two things. One, what's the margin? But two, we learn what fails. Was it what we expected? Did the screen go dark because it's not rated, it's not operational above a certain temperature or below a certain temperature? Did a component fail? Did the fuse blow? Did the significant current draw occur? What caused the failure? And was that expected or was it something new? So did a component fall off, for example? So one of the ideas is that it's not just temperature. We also are concerned with, say, vibration. So we have a 0 to 5 GRMS. Random vibration is where we expect the product to be used. But will it fail at 6 GRMS or at 10 GRMS? Or what's its margin in this regard? Now, if you add humidity, that might be a third dimension. Looking at humidity. And I don't know how to draw the next one, but we may add dust exposure or shock from dropping or all of the different environmental and in-use stresses that are of concern to us. And so the overall idea here is that as I apply these different stresses, I continue to build out where it's operational. And then eventually we find a barriers that then allow us to frame the distance between where we operate and where it doesn't operate. And in some cases, we may have a significant margin, and in other cases, it may be much smaller. And that helps us then to, one, understand what's likely to fail, And then we can use that information to create estimates or run tests to determine when it will fail. Or we can use that information to change the product and reset how much margin there is. And there's a number of different techniques for that. But the idea is that we need to understand where our margins are and what will fail, and if there's anything we can do about that. It goes back to that idea of a build, test, fix. So I'm going to build some prototypes. I'm going to see what fails. I'm going to redesign, rebuild, make it more robust. And the Greg Hobbs used to commonly say is that you just keep doing that until you have to ship the product. Is just keep iterating and improving the product to make it as robust as you possibly can. The final result of halt testing is that you build a product that's at the technical limit, the technology limit of the materials and components that you're using. For example, if you're using CMOS technology for the active electronics, it above 120 degrees C, it tends to break down very quickly and fail very quickly. But that's similar to a phase transition that occurs in a particular behavior of the materials. So if my product is not expected to ever operate at 120 degrees C, but say 30 to 40, you know, maximum would be 30 to 40 degrees C, there's a lot of margin there. And there's no reason to change to a different technology to get a higher temperature performance. But on the other hand, if I'm using CMOS technology, I know theoretically it should operate even for a short time, if only for a short time at 120 degrees C. If I see failures at 50 degrees or 60 degrees C, there's probably something I can do in my design or in my manufacturing process to eliminate that failure mechanism, because it's not at the limit of what's possible given that material. And so the build, test, fix cycle is accelerated by doing these highly accelerated stress tests, these discovery type tests. And so that's one of the ideas. The other thing is you can do it with a sample size of one. Some recommend two or four samples for running these kinds of tests. But I'm basically just going to destroy this particular handset that's on the screen in order to understand the margins. And so it gives us, does it operate in a particular operating where we expect it to? And will it still operate at a bit higher stresses? And then where's the margin where it starts to fail? So highly accelerated stress testing, HAST, is a standards-based test that really only looks at temperature and humidity. Now, because it's a standards-based, it doesn't come, unfortunately, it doesn't come with acceleration factors. So if you're using this test, it's a common technique for early generations of electronics to reveal those early life failure mechanisms. So it's temperature and humidity are common stresses for many failure mechanisms that are present in electronics. So it's like a shakeout, although there's no vibration, of weaknesses in a particular sets of technologies, in mostly in electronics. But running the test, and I think it's 168 hours at a particular temperature and humidity, and it doesn't tell you at the end of the day how long the product should last. It just reveals weaknesses. So it's like a discovery test in that it helps you uncover areas that most likely are production related that would lead to early failure of your product. So there are some standards out there, and they call it HAST. It's prevalent in the electronics industry, and it's limited to temperature and humidity. I think this is the test that I typically call the 85-85. It's 85 degrees C at 85 relative humidity for, I believe it's usually a week, 168 hours. And if there's a presence of a problem or contamination, this test generally does a good job at revealing those. But if it if the product itself is actually made well and it's in and there's no manufacturing defects in it, then it won't reveal any failures. So I usually would start with a standard like this and then just keep it running, increase the temperature and humidity values and to what I can and let it run. Let's force some failures to occur. But there are standards, and there's one called HAST, which you'll see predominantly with electronics. HALT, highly accelerated life test. Now, even though it has the ALT as a part of it, and it has T in there as test, there's no passing this test. And it does do high acceleration, but it does multiple stresses. It does multiple stresses, and it allows you to very quickly, in the order of days in most cases, define where your margins are and what failures are occurring in your product, what's likely to fail, what are the weak elements of your product's design. It uses step stress in the typical processes that will start with cold temperature, because those failures tend to degrade performance of electronics or many products, but they don't actually cause a failure, a hard failure, a destruct limit. And so we find out how cold you can go before we lose performance. And then we go hot and increase temperature alone until we start seeing something, anomalies in its performance. And then we back off. And then we might do vibration, or we might do changes in voltage or in current or in some other stress. All the while, we're manipulating the values to kind of nudge up against where the margin is. All right, then we'll go back and start looking beyond those limits as to where it actually causes a physical problem. So we go cold and hot and so on up to the limits of our capabilities to force the product to fail and fail hard, such that when we bring it back to use stresses, it doesn't operate anymore. Then it's pull out the failure analyst type approach and then duct tape, baling wire, and chewing gum to get it back into shape. Having a second component part or having spare parts allows us to get back into the chamber and explore for other failure mechanisms. Now, we often want to find as many as we can given the time we have, and it's common to find 10 different failure mechanisms. And it's the failure analysis on the spot and over the next couple of days to help us understand which of these failure mechanisms we need to do something about and which ones are at the technical limit, the technology limit of our particular material sets, which ones are very small margins and we should address, which ones have huge margins, and is there a quick, easy fix to make it even more robust? But it's always a process of exploration, of exploring where those limits are. The planning process is involved with temperature, humidity, vibration, or whatever stresses are most salient, likely, or I should say most likely to cause the failures. So inputs like FMEA and engineering judgment, previous products, allow us to figure out, well, what set of stresses should we be applying? What makes HALT really efficient is that it uses a pretty aggressive step stress approach, plus we add multiple stresses. So after we've probed for these operating limits for, just say, just temperature, then we add temperature and vibration, or temperature, vibration, and voltage variation. And it allows us to reveal even more failure mechanisms that take multiple stresses for them to manifest. So it's a pretty useful tool, highly accelerated life test, but it's not a pass-fail test. I much prefer the term discovery. It's a process of discovering problems is what we do with HALT. So with these discovery tools, we're not really directly creating a reliable product. We're creating a product that's more robust, which results in an overall improvement in its reliability performance or its probability of operating over some duration. Now, there's no guarantee from a HALT test that if we fix something, that will double the reliability of the product. It doesn't work that way. But it does give us the information we need to understand and hopefully answer that question if it's necessary, because we know what the failure mechanism is. But the basic idea is that if you make the product more robust to the types of failures that you can that are created through exploration of the stresses applied to it, that we can make the product robust enough that it does really improve the reliability. And so it's one of the two main questions that we have to deal with is what's going to fail? And so this suite of discovery tests where we're looking for margins and we're looking for what fails is the way to answer that question. And it's always fun when we actually find something really new or unexpected during these tests, these explorations, that really helps us avoid a major field problem. So another whole approach is reliability growth testing. It's also built on the test fix or the test build test fix type of approach, but we'll explore that in the next.